You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon, we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, spirit, community, all six areas of the Healthful Living Model, and you can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and Healthful Living advocate with Healthful Living, and I'm here in the studio today with my co-host.
I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, also with Healthful Living.
Today we're going to be speaking on Reality Sandwich, all about subjects tremendously pertinent to our human health and our lives, and very dear to Julie and ourselves, the relationships between food and health.
Absolutely. We have Sally Fallon on today. She is the author of Nourishing Traditions and the founder of the Weston A. Price Foundation. Coming up November 7th through the 10th will be the 9th annual conference of the Weston A. Price Foundation. The theme is Life in Its Fullest, Nutrition for Mental and Emotional Health. It's going to be held at the Hyatt Regency San Francisco Airport in Burlingame, California. And this four-day conference will explore the relationship of traditional diets to mental and emotional health, the role of cholesterol and dietary fats for mental wellness, how to support the body's natural feel-good chemicals, key nutrients for brain development, and natural therapies to combat depression, addiction, and autism. So this is right up my alley for sure. Before we bring Sally on the line, I thought we would bring together all the things that we've been up to and how this is all kind of related to the topic we're going to talk about
today. Well, my goodness, this Wise Traditions Conference, I understand it's going to be one of the largest ever, and just so many great people coming together to learn so much in one concentrated weekend period of time. You and I, just this past weekend, Julie, were at the Defeat Autism Now conference held down in San Diego. You had the opportunity to address more than 1,000 parents down there last weekend, as well as do Dan's first ever cooking demonstration.
Yes.
How was that?
It was really a great time, and in fact, this is going to fit right in with what we're going to be talking about today, because I had the opportunity on Thursday night, the day before the conference started, to do a workshop with a colleague of mine named Susan Vess, and we did a lot of Weston A. Price type of dishes. We made a burger with liver in it. We made some raw homemade sauerkraut. When the fermented foods are always a really big draw for people, because this, as you'll hear with some of the speakers that are coming up at this conference, like Natasha Campbell McBride, the gut of these children is so important to their overall health. So parents always get really excited when we made raw sauerkraut. We made nut milk, yogurt, and all sorts of really good things like that. We talked about the importance of good nutrient-dense broths and all sorts of things. So it's really very fitting that we just came back from that conference, and we had this next conference we're going to be talking about. I'm excited about it.
And literally millions and millions of people across the country and around the world are learning how much more of a connection there is between what they eat and how their body function, and actually how they can intentionally shift their diets to prepare foods that are inherently healing to the body.
Yeah, and actually that's a really good point, because while I did a cooking demo on Thursday, on Friday I did a couple presentations to all the parents and the practitioners. We talked a lot about that. How are these systems connected? Why is food so important to our mental health, to the symptoms of autism, to gut function, and all of these things that people often don't realize are connected? And so it's always really fun for me not to only do the practical hands on how to do this stuff, but also I think equally important is to really explain the science and how all of this really makes sense, and how really these principles of nutrition support the foundation of a healthy system, which then in turn help to support the reduction in symptoms and all of this that we see with autism.
Well, I just got to say that watching your Cooking to Heal demonstration Thursday evening, which you've taken that name from the all-day class that you teach called Cooking to Heal, it was just so empowering to talk to parents afterwards who, you know, are so overwhelmed trying to learn how to apply these special diets. You know, they're reading things and, you know, actually how to do it. So for a couple hundred parents to walk out of there with so many more ideas about, you know, what they can do.
Absolutely, because one of the big things for the autism world is that we often have to eliminate things that create a lot of inflammation, like wheat and sometimes all the grains. We have to eliminate sometimes dairy foods and soy and all these different things that can be a little overwhelming of how do you make a fermented food if you can't do dairy-based yogurt, or how do you do some of these things with it's a really great way to just help people be successful at the diets by really showing them what they can make and how actually good tasting it is.
Right. And a huge component of what you've been sharing has, of course, been nourishing traditions-esque and Weston A. Price, I mean, core foundational principles. Yeah?
Absolutely. That's why I'm so excited to have Sally on the line today. Sally is the author of Nourishing Traditions as well as Eat Fat, Lose Fat, and she is the founder of the Weston A. Price Foundation, and she has been putting together this upcoming conference that's going to be happening the November 7th through the 10th, and we're so fortunate that it's going to be on the West Coast this year, so there's a lot of people that are really excited to be able to make it, in some cases for the first time. So let's see if we can get Sally on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I am. And as you say, we are very excited about this conference coming up, and it is completely open to the public. You can register online or just walk in. We'd prefer you pre-register, but and we have talks and presentations at all levels, beginning, general audience, and advance. And I'm sure there's something that anyone can take away that will be helpful to conditions like autism, depression, emotional instability, and just general health. We even have a track on thyroid disorders on Sunday.
I saw that. So tell us a little. You're going to be speaking several times. In fact, Friday you have an entire track where you're going to be talking about traditional diets. Tell us a little bit about what that's going to cover.
Right. This is my seminar that I've basically given all over the world, and the purpose of the seminar is to answer that burning question, what is a healthy diet? As you both know, there is so much confusion about what is a healthy diet. So we go step by step through the principles of healthy diets, and we start with the work of Weston Price and look at the wisdom that he has to give to this question. And then we get very practical, and I do 7 steps to change your diet for the better. But I will be speaking in competition, so to speak, on Friday with Natasha Campbell McBride, who does the gut and psychology syndrome, and her focus is on autistic children or children with behavior or learning disorders, and she starts with the gut, and her talk is just absolutely fascinating about what happens when the gut flora is all messed up. And it's just amazing, and I would even say the majority of the problems that you're seeing with these autistic children really start in the gut.
Absolutely. That's something that we've been talking about. And I'm so excited to see Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride talking, because we've been doing something called the specific carbohydrate diet for many years. And she enhances that with some wonderful kind of Weston A. Price principles with broths. And so it's a really wonderful.
And the cod liver oil and everything.
Yes.
And the wonderful thing about this conference, this is the first time we'll have her the whole conference, and Friday she's speaking all day. So not only does she present the theory of all this, but she gets very, very practical. How do you introduce these foods these children need when they're so terribly picky? And she has been in the trenches herself. She has a child who was autistic and who was a very picky eater. And so she knows what mothers are going through, and she knows how to deal with this. And let me just say that her child completely recovered using these principles. So I would say any family who's dealing with this really needs to send someone down to the conference. That's Friday.
Yes.
And Friday we have our workshops. And then on Saturday we will have a number of speakers, including Julia Ross, who is a Bay Area therapist.
She's great.
Who uses nutritional therapy for depression and other emotional concerns. And then on Sunday, we have 5 tracks. It's the biggest conference we've ever had. And one of them is a weight loss track with 4 speakers there. One is a thyroid track, and one is a heart disease track. So there's plenty for everyone at this conference. We have cooking classes. We have just a seminar or a track on Friday on raw milk and the legal implications, what's going on in California. One thing, Julie, I do want to stress, we have half price fees for students and seniors, and we also have a walk-in, no-charge fee just to see the exhibits. So you can actually come and see all the exhibits, meet many of the speakers and authors, and on Sunday we have book signings, and that is absolutely free.
Wow, that's great to know. And people can go to the WestonAPrice.org website, correct, to find out more?
That's exactly right. Just scroll down about an inch, and there you'll see the conference information. And if you're, you know, if you want fast information, I can give you a number to call. It's 240-379-7072.
Great. And for people that are just new to this, Weston is spelled with an O-N, not an
I-N.
That's
correct. That's correct. Right. Right.
Well, great. And let's talk a little bit, since we have some time today, for people that maybe haven't heard any of this information. You know, mainstream nutrition has a lot of kind of antiquated notions, and there's so much new research and study and information that's going to be presented at this conference. One of the biggest areas I always get questions on is the area of fats, and I know you're doing a couple talks on fats. Can you talk a little bit about animal fat and cholesterol and saturated fat?
Yes, well, this is one of the reasons we're in this mess that we're in, and we're seeing so many problems in our children and mental and emotional problems, is because we have demonized the food that is the most essential for gut health, for learning, for having an optimistic outlook. And those are the animal fats. And I will be talking specifically on Sunday. I have a talk called The Oiling of America. I will talk about how this happened, what was behind this promotion or this demonization of the animal fats, and why it's just so wrong. We'll talk a lot about saturated fat and the roles of saturated fat in the diet, and why they are so important.
Do you have any little information you can share just for people that might want to get their appetite wet now about any of this, just because I know it's such an area of so much confusion? I don't know, maybe a little fact or two.
Okay, well, let's just talk about butter. And people are afraid of butter, but actually butter is a wonderful fat. It's probably the healthiest fat there is, especially when it comes from grass-fed animals. And it supplies a lot of nutrients that the brain needs to function. In fact, our first talk on Saturday will talk about the vitamins in butter that are necessary for brain function. And these include vitamin A, vitamin D, and vitamin K. And we're just learning a lot about vitamin K, which is the animal form of K1. This is K2. And it is just an amazing vitamin, if I might say so, and particularly important for the myelin and the nerves and for brain connection.
Wow. Now, was this what Dr. Price called X factor at the time?
Is exactly. That... He called it Activator X. He knew how to find it, but he didn't exactly know what it was, and we've kind of connected the dots here. But suffice it to say that this Activator X, or vitamin K2, is found in foods that we're avoiding today, such as butter from grass-fed animals, certain types of seafood, and organ meats, things like liver, which traditionally Americans ate once a week up until the Second World War. So we will be talking a lot about these types of vitamins, neglected, ignored, demonized vitamins that are really important to get back in the diet. And what's so wonderful about Dr. Campbell McBride is, from a completely different perspective and without even knowing us, she came to the same conclusions.
Wow. And when you were talking about those vitamins, those fat-soluble vitamins, what I think would be interesting for people to know is that these are all made by the animals, so you can't get these in plants. So vitamin A, I'm simplifying a little, vitamin A comes from eating the grasses, vitamin D from the conversion of sunlight, and vitamin K also from some of these plants. So I think that that's probably a good thing that people might not know, is that the reason you need butter is because you couldn't find this in a plant-based fat.
Well, yes, and that's something that I cover in considerable depth in my seminar on Friday. People think you can get vitamin A from green vegetables and yellow carrots. And you can get a little if you are one of these people who can make the conversion of the carotenes, but you cannot get an adequate amount from plant foods. And the true vitamin A is only in these animal fats. And when you think about it, a cow, which we consider sacred animals, is like a machine for converting green grass into vitamin A for humans, and a machine for converting sunlight into vitamin D, and for converting green grass into vitamin K. And she stores these vitamins in her organ meats and her butterfat. So we honor the cow by consuming those really nutrient-dense products that she provides for us.
And, of course, these, in order for these animals to have these vitamins, they need to be well taken care of and raised in their traditional way, right? This commercial meat is not going to have these fats. Correct.
That's exactly right. And we are a very strong voice for getting animals out of cages and out of these confinement facilities and back on pasture and back in sunlight. And, you know, the cruelty that we have shown to our animals in this industrial model bounces back to us, because when we raise our animals that way, their products are not nearly as healthy for us.
You know, there was a period of time where I was a vegetarian because I didn't want to eat all of those tortured animals. Yeah. And then, of course, didn't work so well for my health, so I had to find a better way, and that's one of the ways I found you. And I think that's so helpful for people that really are doing it for ethical reasons or for health reasons, because these animals are so poorly treated that there is a different way and there is a better way that's good for everybody.
That's right. And the Weston A. Price Foundation has local chapters all over the world who their number one job is to let you know where in your area you can get these humanely raised and healthy animal foods. I certainly understand where the vegetarians are coming from. None of us likes this system. But at the same time, you're sort of shooting yourself in the foot, because you suffer if you don't have the animal foods that you need. And by the way, Julie, we don't tell people, oh, you have to eat red meat, you have to eat steak. But people do need some animal foods, and it can be dairy foods and eggs, or fish dairy foods and eggs. But the foods need to be from grass-fed animals. That's really the key part.
Absolutely. And actually, that's something that I tell everybody in all my presentations, which is, you know, because I lecture. But I just got back from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, doing a lecture for autism. And so I don't know in every local area where to get these things. So I always send them to the Weston A. Price Foundation. Go find your local chapter and go ahead and find someone, because those people will know in their area. And so it's a really great resource for people that are new to all of this.
Right. That's exactly what we do. And of course, another big subject for us is raw milk. And we've been at the forefront of the drive to keep raw milk available. And this is a really important food for the autistic child. And not all autistic children can do raw milk, but many, many of them have had vast improvement by just going from pasteurized to raw milk, because it's so much easier for them to digest. And once again, Dr. Campbell McBride corroborates this.
Yeah, you know, my experience has been that at the beginning, a lot of them seem to not be able to handle the casein, but maybe as their guts heal or as different things change, it does seem that there are, like you said, there's a lot of nutritional benefits to the nutrients in there that we often can't get other ways. And I've seen people actually improve simply by putting butter into the diet or something like that.
Exactly.
So I think that because this is my theory, but because raw milk has not been adulterated with the high heat, maybe the protein molecules are better recognized by the body rather than pasteurized, which does seem to make some sense.
Oh, that's absolutely right. When you pasteurize, the delicate proteins in milk are all messed up and warped, and your body mounts an immune response. Everybody's body does that, whether or not you're autistic. But you see, the autistic child with the compromised digestive tract really has a problem dealing with pasteurized milk.
Absolutely. And I've been, we're just a fan of raw milk in our household. It tastes so delicious.
It does. It really does, yes.
People are always so surprised.
And my goodness, the raw milk issue is really quite paramount to looking at how, when we change a food over the past 50 some odd years, it messes with our bodies.
Right.
It absolutely does. And the whole argument for raw milk is a safety argument. And we've looked at that very carefully as well. And I will be presenting information on this on Friday. And what we found is just a lot of bias in the reports. And when you discount the bias in these published reports of illness, you find that actually raw milk is safer than pasteurized milk.
Mm. And, you know, I know you're going to be talking more about this later in the conference, but I know there have been some battles going on in California over this raw milk. Do you have any updates for us on?
Well, unfortunately, Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed the bill that we were trying to get through. It passed almost unanimously in the Senate, in the House, and only four votes against it in the Senate. And he vetoed this bill. This was SB 201. And so we're back where we started with the AB 1735, which is a very restrictive standard and allows the Department of Agriculture to basically take raw milk off the shelf. However, what I have noticed is, even though the governor vetoed our bill, they're kind of holding back. And they're not aggressively going after raw milk the way we had feared. So I think just the fact that we've had so much publicity and so many people really do need this milk, I think we've actually turned the corner in spite of the veto. I'm just trying to be cautiously optimistic.
Sure.
Here.
I find it so interesting that so many of the positively interesting that so many of the representatives were able to see through all of the years of propaganda, let's say,
right,
and to actually come to this decision in favor of it. And then I also find it equally strange that out of all of the support that it got, that it would be so quickly just set aside and vetoed. I don't really understand what the governor was really up to or thinking.
Well, I think even though he vetoed it, just because we presented such a strong case to the legislature, also in the courts when we got the temporary restraining order, I think they realize that they can't just pull it off the shelves. They will have just an outcry. Mm. And we actually are going back to court to get a permanent injunction.
Mm.
Well, I just want to say that thank goodness they are not foolishly trying to enforce this, since we've since learned that it was never really the intention of the state assembly people who brought this forward to have raw milk banned in California. That we've later learned that this whole thing was kind of done a little bit surreptitiously, a little sneakily.
Right.
And then all these wonderful people got on board to work together to create a standard and a new legislation that would work for everybody. And for the most part, everybody, almost with the exception of a few people in the Senate, agree with it and green-lighted the whole thing. And it's just, in my opinion, just the ignorance of our governor to just veto this thing. Maybe he didn't want to get up to speed on it. Maybe he didn't have the time. And unfortunately, the work of all those good people is just summarily dismissed, and now we have to start from the beginning. But the reality is that we've shown this to be safe. Everyone's worked together on it. So thank goodness
I don't think we are starting from the beginning. I think we've accomplished a huge amount.
Mm.
And by the way, we will have a raw milk bar at the conference.
All right.
And we'll also have, I'm so proud of this, we have had always at our conference a soda bar. Now, this is not modern soft drinks. These are the old-fashioned, healthy soft drinks. They're called lacto-fermented soft drinks that put good bacteria into the gut.
Mm.
And there is such a crying need for these healthy types of soft drinks. We will be having a workshop on them on Friday afternoon and a soda bar where people can taste them. And we will also have some exhibitors selling some healthy beverages. So this is one of my key areas of interest is, I hate to tell people you can't have this, you can't have that, and so it's always been my philosophy to look for healthy versions of things that people like, and this is especially true in the soft drinks.
And that's going to be Larry Wish, correct?
Larry Wish, and Larry has done a really wonderful thing. He's over in Oakland, and they have the Three Stone Hearth Community Kitchen that prepares foods completely according to our guidelines. And this is, available to people to buy and have delivered.
And for people that don't know, the Three Stone Hearth, we get a delivery from them. And it's so everything you could ever want, from broths to soups and stews to meat patties with organ meats in them, all as well as, like you said, all of these wonderful fermentations and beverages. We love the coolers and the sodas. They're really delicious.
And the breads, they do breads.
Yes.
And, yeah, so we're so pleased. And they, we think, will be a model for the rest of the country, almost like a franchise.
Great.
Well, we certainly hope so, because if we're going to belong to a healthy village, you want Three Stone doing the cooking and Larry.
Or somebody who's been trained there, right?
Right, right. Exactly. I got to say, as I'm looking down here at this Why Is Traditions information, the upcoming conference, I mean, this is thousands of years of information. about being healthy.
You know, I think we've really put together our best conference, and I just want to stress again, this is entirely open to the public and all levels of speakers, from very advanced to beginners, and we have health professionals, doctors, laymen. We do give CEUs for a number of health professions, but don't stay away because you are not a health practitioner. There's something for everyone there. Mm.
So even beginners, even families and individuals that are just now realizing, you know, hey, let me tune into some of this stuff. It's sounding kind of right to me. Are they going to feel embraced, or are they going to be overwhelmed with all this health and that stuff?
Absolutely. What I would say, if you're a complete beginner, try to come on Friday, and my seminar is for the beginners and to introduce you to all the concepts. But we have talks at all levels all 3 days, and they're well marked on the program what the level is.
And I'm just going to read a little bit of some of these speakers. There's David Brownstein, who's an MD and author of Overcoming Thyroid Disorders. Natasha Campbell McBride, MD, that we had mentioned with the book Gut and Psychology Syndrome. We have Paul Check, author of How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. Dr. Cowan, right in our area, an MD, author of Fourfold Path to Healing. There is Kayla Daniel, who has an amazing book on soy. She's a PhD with The Whole Soy Story. Another PhD, James DeMeo. You know, just goes on and on with so many really interesting speakers. I can't even really name them all.
A couple that I'd like to highlight. Richard Morris will be speaking on the weight lost track. Now, this man lost 150 pounds. He had tried every diet and knows all the pitfalls, and what worked for him was getting onto our dietary principles, onto real foods. We also have on Sunday a subtle energies track. I thought it would be great to do this in California, and we're going to talk about healing and life forces and so forth, and all four speakers in that track are PhDs. So I think that is what we're interested in is the science of the subtle energies.
Wow.
You're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. This is Reality Sandwich with Martin and Julie Matthews. And we're on the line today with our guest, Sally Fallon. She's the co-founder of the Weston A. Price Foundation and author of Nourishing Traditions Cookbook and director of the Wise Traditions Conference coming up next weekend, November 7th through 9th, out here in the Bay Area. Folks can get information about that at the Weston A. Price
.org
website.
Yep.
And if people want to listen to this recording at a future time, they can go to realitysandwichradio.com.
And, you know, as I stressed, you can just come in and see the exhibits, and we will have all the speakers recorded. And so you can get recordings of the ones that you're interested in.
Great.
And this is at the Hyatt San Francisco Airport in Burlingame.
So Burlingame. Is this the first time you've done this on the West Coast?
It is. It's actually the first time that we've done it away from the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah.
So this is a new experience for us. But things are going very well. As you know, Julie, we pride ourselves on the food we serve at the conference. And we've had a wonderful experience working with the chef. I mean, people in California do understand food. And we practice what we preach and serve meals that are in accordance with our guidelines.
Wow, that sounds great. So if people come to the conference, there will be meals they can participate in, or how's that going?
That's correct. Friday we serve lunch and dinner. Saturday we serve lunch, and then if you're interested, we have a banquet that people can come to. And then on Sunday we also serve lunch, which is our traditional cheese taste.
Mm.
But we have to serve other things as well.
Great.
So they're actually, if you buy the full conference package, you get 5 meals.
Wow, that's really reasonable.
Yes.
Wow. And so for people wanting to know where that is again, it's the Hyatt Regency San Francisco Airport, which is in Burlingame. So if someone's coming in from out of town, it's right near the airport. And if you are in the Bay Area, it's going to be slightly south of San Francisco.
That's correct, yes.
So, Sally, we have a few minutes left, and while I've got you on the line, I wanted to ask you, what other major food issues is your organization championing right now? You know, we just talked about the raw milk thing. You know, Michael Pollan just wrote this whole thing about, you know, farmer-in-chief. There's a lot of you know, issues around food. What are you guys really passionate about right now?
Well, we're very passionate, of course, about pasture feeding and getting away from this confinement industrial system and bringing back the traditional small mixed farm. One of our speakers is Mark Castell from the Cornucopia Institute, who will be talking about the industry hijacking of organic standards and also the very sneak attack on almonds. And now the organic almonds, all the almonds, but even the organic ones, have to be pasteurized or treated, either with a fumigant or a heat treatment. And that just was pushed through without, you know, nobody voted on that, you know. So he will be speaking, and we're also very concerned about the genetically engineered food, which more and more evidence indicates is really hard on the guts of growing children. And so once again, we get back to the autism and the connection with the gut. And our speaker at our banquet will be Jeffrey Smith, talking about GMO food. And Jeffrey Smith wrote Seeds of Deception, which was a best-selling book on genetically modified food. So those are some more issues. And, you know, Julie and Martin, I think more and more food is going to be the focus of the next few decades, and trying to get back to just a rational, healthy diet, and with people asking questions and making more effort to get healthy food.
I agree, and if anybody read Michael Pollan's article in the New York Times, it was 15 pages about how this issue that you just mentioned is essential to national security, to health care, to all of, you know, to the environment, to all these issues that are core that they're talking about. This food, the food supply is the really behind all of it.
It absolutely is, and I think where it impacts people the most right now is in their health. We just published, we published a journal, and it goes out to our members, and the latest issue, it has an article by an accountant, and she and her family of four were on the standard American diet, and she kept track of all her costs, and then she switched to our type of diet and figured out the cost as well. And the interesting thing is that even though she was buying much better quality food, she actually spent less on food doing it our way, and much, much less on medical bills. So if you know what you're doing, and we help people figure out how to do all this, you save money as well as being more healthy.
Yes, I saw that article, and I do. People, one of the things people always kind of comment on when they have an objection to what I'm speaking about is, "Oh, well, I can't afford it." But I really try to encourage people to really look at all those processed chips and cereals, and not only are they completely devoid of nutrients, but they're expensive when you really get down to it.
They are. I mean, you take breakfast cereals; they're extremely expensive for what you get. And we show, you know, I do some cost comparisons in my seminar to show people, you know, how just if you just take a few extra steps to cook oatmeal and to make your own salad dressing and that type of thing, you actually save money.
And if you connect with other Weston A. Price people in your area, you can go in on group buys and co-op buys and
exactly.
All these things.
And this particular gal who wrote the article, she said they went all together and they all bought freezers. At a very low price, and so she buys in the fall. They buy a cow and 50 chickens.
Wow!
So she this is a very organized person who knew how to make sure that they had the money in the fall and saved up and so forth. But she said it was a huge savings to them to do
wow.
it like that.
Sure, yeah. Amazing.
Well, it could certainly be done. It didn't cost you an arm and a leg to be healthy nowadays. Little creativity goes a long, long way.
Right.
And most importantly, you know, one's own personal desire and passion and commitment to make it work.
That's right. And it's almost like you can't afford not to.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And you know, the industrial food gets worse and worse. I just look at the melamine scandal, and it's, you know, adding this to the milk, and apparently it's in other foods as well. And so things are just getting worse and worse, and people really need to look out for themselves and their own families and, you know, read up on this. You can't afford not to be informed, and that's what we offer at the conference.
Yeah, that's what I just saw an email come by today about, I think it was Mars Candy Company, that they use milk products in their chocolate from China. But, of course, they don't use the melamine one. But, you know, it's like, how many people are really going to trust that? And, you know, I started thinking not only is this tragic and awful, but it was kind of positive in a way, because I thought, okay, maybe people will get back to the slow food movement. Maybe people will understand the importance of buying things locally, you know, because this is so scary that hopefully.
And preparing the food yourself.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean you have to be an expert cook or spend lots and lots of time in the kitchen. And that's another thing that I do in my seminar. I show how with just a little extra time, you have huge benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we're learning so much more now. Science is corroborating all these things that we've called before, you know, subtle energies. But we're learning now that really it's true that when you prepare your own food, when you're setting that intention, and when you're cooking for yourself, your body responds differently. It's much more open. It's much more receptive.
Absolutely.
And things taste better and feel better, and they're healthier for you than when you just buy something and consume it to keep your, you know, keep the body going.
Right.
It's a whole different circumstance.
But, you know, we're not judgmental either. We have a shopping guide full of things that are healthy to buy. And then we will have that at the conference too, and we're coming out with our one for next year. So we've really done as much as we can to provide understandable material about these principles and to provide the public with really wonderful speakers who can enlighten you. You know, we won't be on the West Coast for a while again, so this is a unique opportunity.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So for people that want to get more information for the Wise Traditions 2008 Weston A. Price Conference, it's going to be held Friday, November 7th through Sunday the 9th, and there will also be some things happening on Monday. So it'll be that weekend at the Hyatt Regency San Francisco Airport, Burlingame, California, and they can go to westonaprice.org to find out more information. And there is also a phone number, which is
240-379-7072.
Great. Well, Sally, thank you so much.
And they can just walk in as well. The registration will be open from 8 o'clock Friday morning. And if you just want to show up and pay at the door, you can do that as well. Oh. Or you can, if you just want to show up and see the exhibits, that's on Saturday and Sunday, and there's no charge for that.
Great. And that is 133 Bayshore Drive in Burlingame. So, Sally, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Great.
You're going to have a booth there,
yes,
right?
Yes, we will. We'll be there.
All right.
All right, thanks.
See you
Bye.
Then.
Bye.
Bye. We're going to take a really quick musical break, and then Julie and I will be back to chat a little bit more about recent events and our comments on Prop 8. Stay tuned.
We are back. You are listening to KPOO San Francisco. You are listening to Julie and Martin Matthews with Reality Sandwich.
It was great to connect with Sally Fallon. She is just such a delight and such a world of information.
And she is really done so much advocating for all these different states with the different bills and really protecting, you know, raw milk. And so her organization really does a ton to help all of us really, you know, protect what's really most important.
Real champion for health.
Absolutely. And good food, of course.
And then if folks can go meet her at the conference next week, as well as you and I.
Yeah, we're going to be there. And as Sally mentioned, we'll have a booth. There's a couple things. I'm going to be, a member of the Nourishing Our Children campaign of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And we created a presentation for applying these Weston A. Price principles to children. And we do go around to different organizations and present our presentation, but we also have the presentation available. So on Sunday, I will be at their booth for a little while, but we will also have our own booth all weekend. So you can come find us. Martin and I will be there on and off. And, I will be there on and off because I definitely want to go see some speakers, but we will be at our booth. And I will have both my book, Nourishing Hope for Autism, as well as my cooking DVD and recipe book, which is called Cooking to Heal. And it's all based on my research and science behind my work with children with autism. And it has a lot of wonderful Weston A. Price type principles in it. And I talk about the Weston A. Price Foundation and the diet and all sorts of things in both of them, and give people really practical ways of implementing this diet and the things that we just talked to Sally about. So I'm really excited to be able to be there. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And so people can come find us at our booth as well.
The Cooking to Heal thing has been really, really fun. And I know the DVD has got so much information. It's like 4 hours of you talking. Because
yes.
So many folks are trying to do stuff with, you know, no dairy, no casein, no wheat, no soy. It's like, no.
Right.
How do you still cook something healthy given all those, you know, restrictions?
Absolutely. And that's why I created it. My book, Nourishing Hope, it goes into a lot of the science and the different diets. And it talks about the GAPS diet, the specific carbohydrate diet, the body ecology diet, GFCF diet. I mean, there's about 13 different diets I mention and several of them that I talk about in great detail, as well as steps to do on how to make these changes. But what I don't have in the book is recipes because it's so comprehensive that I needed a separate place for that. So people were really asking about that. So I was able to take my material I teach from class, turn it into a DVD, and have the recipe book there and provide that as the how-to piece of it.
Right. Excellent. And that's next weekend at the Weston A. Price Conference.
Absolutely.
And people can also get information about the DVD at your website,
yes.
nourishinghope.com.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit in our last 10 minutes, because I know this is a subject that's been near and dear to your heart for probably about, 15 years or something, which is the subject of gay marriage and this new proposition, Prop 8. So why don't I have you take it away?
Well, I'm not exactly sure where to begin, other than that you just mentioned that for 15 years this has been a passionate issue for me. It was actually back in about 1991 I wrote an essay for school about this gay marriage subject, and it just seemed to be something that was so inherently natural. I didn't understand. It seemed to me that the default perspective in our world would be one of, there are no rules nor laws nor anything that would inhibit it. So why wouldn't it be allowed? Why wouldn't two people be able to make a choice of spending a life together and having what's called a marriage? And there should be no reason to inhibit that. And I think that that's precisely what the California Supreme Court has acknowledged recently.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at the issue and said, yeah, there is nothing in our Constitution, i.e. our default description of who we are and how we are and
mm-hmm.
what we're about,
mm-hmm.
Nor any laws that would inhibit this. So, yeah. That's basically what the California Constitution and the court has said. So, and I guess I've just seen so many things in our world where people have been swindled by a small group of people shifting their opinions. And
I heard that a lot of the money coming from this, 40% of it's coming from out of state. I won't go into the details, but certain religious groups from out of state that really, it would be a big positive thing for them to see California have this amendment go on their constitution. And it's not even really Californians that are heading this thing.
Right. You know, what I think is going on here with this whole Prop 8 thing and why a small group of people are rallying to try to have it passed, it seems that, you know, the world is changing and the world is opening and people are becoming more conscious and accepting and approving of one another. And through that inquiry, we've realized that part of that openness and acceptance and freedom is that the California courts have acknowledged that, yes, we're free and we can't place limitations on people. And as part of that, no problem
right.
with two people, two men or two women getting married.
Right.
And that's just part of how we've all come to accept the nature of our world and the fact that we allow all of us equal rights. And a small group of people are uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the fact that that goes on because they have rules in their own minds and in their own religion and their own bases that say that that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they're trying to fool an entire state of California by saying all kinds of things that are completely wrong and completely misleading. Like saying that the California courts gave them the right to marry. That's not true.
Mm.
That is not true.
Mm.
No constitution gives you rights. Rights are inherent.
Mm.
They are inherent human rights. We write a constitution to protect our natural and inherent rights. And the California courts correctly ascertained that these are inherent rights. They are inherent, they're natural, they're God-given rights. Now, this proposition isn't meant to put a change to the Constitution, to say that no, our default way of being is not that everybody has equal rights, but that specifically certain people don't have rights. It is extremely discriminatory.
It's a slippery slope.
And it's a complete change of identity. People need to realize that when we're talking about changing the Constitution, you're changing how you are and what you're about.
And what's to say that this group is unhappy about this issue, but then someone else is going to come by later and say, well, we don't like what that group's doing and we don't want that. And it seems like a scary thing, really. To me, this isn't about the issue of gay rights. It's about the issue of freedoms and the desire to be able to have people do what they wish to do if they're not hurting anybody else, especially when it comes to protecting families, because there are a lot of same-sex couples that have children, and what a tragedy it would be for the children and for the families if suddenly one of them got sick or one of them died or something happened and they did not have rights to stay with the other parent, or they didn't have rights to go to the hospital or whatever those things are. It seems like if we really wanted to be loving people and that we would let people do what people wish to do.
I'm personally offended when anybody tells me that marriage needs to be protected.
I know. We're married. What does marriage need to be protected from?
I don't really get it. And you know what?
And, you know, I have to say heterosexuals aren't doing that great of a job at marriage either.
50% failure rate? Is that right amongst heterosexuals?
It can't get much worse than that.
Yeah. And marriage is a co-creation. It's when two people come together. And we also use that term in many other walks of life other than two people getting married, you know, marrying concepts, marrying, you know, my company and your company. They're perfect for each other. Together, it's a co-creative, more powerful union, right?
Right.
We use this term very loosely. So I don't know that marriage needs protection, because when two people are committed in love and feel in a way with one another that they say, you know what, I'm going to love you forever. And I want to co-create with you forever, because I know that by doing that, by my loving you, you can be more of a person and love me more. And together we're committing to do this forever. And what a wonderful thing for two people to do, any two people to do. And when two people do that, that enhances the idea and the concept and the practice of marriage. So I would never want to limit who gets to do that.
Mm. It's a good point.
And I would never want to change my personal identity to say that, no, only certain people can do that. Because then I step into, and it's not a slippery slope, it's a straight slope down to complete lack of human morality, in my opinion, to start declaring oneself superior to another human being.
Right.
And that's what Prop 8 is trying to do. It's trying to sneak Californians into believing that they should create a law to declare some people, some human beings, superior to others.
And some people unworthy.
And that is so archaic in our human.
It does seem like it's going severe. It seems like existence. It's not progression. It seems like it's, what would you call the opposite? Regression? It seems like we're going
de-evolution.
Backwards.
It's de-evolution. And the fact that it's being brought forward by, you know, certain numbers of groups, you know, they can remain nameless, although you can get them on their website. And by being funded by people outside of our state,
what can I say? My last little comment before we have to go is that when you look at the people on both sides, it's certainly an impassioned issue on both sides, but the people on the side that think that it should not be allowed are so angry. I mean, there's so much hatred and anger. It's like, that doesn't seem like the positive progress and place that we want to go with things.
Sounds tremendously insecure to me.
So for the last little bit here, Prop 8 is trying to create an amendment to the Constitution not allowing gay marriage and defining it in a specific way. So if you are for equal rights and for the protection of everybody being able to get married, then you are saying no to this bill, which seems kind of backwards. So people want to be really careful about that wording and make sure they understand a yes on it means no to gay marriage, and a no on it means yes to preserving everybody's rights.
If you believe in equal rights for all human beings, you must set Prop 8 down by voting no. No to exclusionary superiority amongst human beings, and just say no to it. So
do you feel like you got to say what you wanted to say?
I think I got it out there, and I'm embarrassed that even our state is this is being considered in this day and age.
Yes.
I really think that we would have evolved past this to include equality for all people as just being a default in our innately human way of being.
Right.
That's enough said on that subject.
You are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, and I'm here with
Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living. We're here every Thursday at noon for Reality Sandwich. Remember that all change begins with you. You can get this show at realitysandwichradio.com. We'll be back next Thursday at noon.
And a special thanks to Sally for being on today. And remember to go to the Weston A. Price. That's W-E-S-T-O-N. A as in apple, price. .org.
Thanks for listening.
But what is to be must have to be.